Okay, get yourself ready. So today, our talk, sorry, our retreat will focus on four foundations of mindfulness, satipatthana. Before we understand four foundations of mindfulness, let us understand what is mindfulness, sati. So mindfulness got few meanings. The first one is bare awareness. Not only awareness, but bare, plain awareness. What does it mean? It means that you aware of something and yet your mind does not react to what you are aware of. Give you an example. When you sit for 30 minutes, when there is pain arise in you, then there are two conditions. One with mindfulness react one way. One without mindfulness react another way. So let's say one with bare awareness without reacting, so he's aware of the pain. The pain has arisen in him, he knows it, he's aware of it without react emotionally, saying that I don't like this pain, go away. So if you react, the pain, severe pain arises in you, and mentally you react, say that I don't like pain, please go away, pain is killing me. All this are called non-mindfulness. You already react towards the phenomena you are aware of. Okay, so then the one with mindfulness, pain has arisen in me. So he take the pain as object. Pain has arisen in me. He just observe it equanimously, with equanimity, without hating the pain, without want to push away the pain, without disliking the pain. Okay, but for most of us, we will react to the pain if we are not mindful. So the moment that when the pain arises, if you are not aware or not fully mindful and you react to the pain, I don't like the pain. So first reaction, I don't like the pain. What is this? Emotional aversion, right? So your mind is, you are getting angry with the pain. And yet, you are not aware this aversion state of the mind. So for the second time, you lose mindfulness again, right? First, you are not mindful of the pain and you react saying that I don't like. Secondly, you are not aware of your mental state. You are already agitated and you are not aware. So you don't like it, then you hate it, then mentally a lot of chattering in the mind. I don't like, I want to shift posture. How can she sit so still? How can I cannot? So all the chattering in the mind, and you are also not aware the mind is restless now. So you hit, you lose how many mindfulness already? First, you are not aware of the pain. Secondly, you are not aware of the aversion that has arisen in your mind. And because of that aversion, you are not aware of that aversion. Your mind creating a lot of story out of that aversion, and that aversion is out of the pain. And you're sitting there, but your mind is restless, fighting with yourself, and you are not meditating with mindfulness. Okay? So, a person who is mindful, when the pain arises in him, he has bare awareness without reacting. Without reacting is the key word. So pain has arisen in him. He know. Oh, pain has arisen in me. No, no, no. But somehow, even you know, the pain also will agitate your mind, right? So as a skillful meditator, you change to observe your mind. Take the aversion as mental object. Pain is physical object, but aversion is mental object. So take that aversion as mental object, aware of it. Mind is affected by pain. Mind is affected by aversion as mind as affected by aversion. So if you can contemplate in this way, then you are mindful of your mind. First, you're mindful of your physical body. Second, you move to mindfulness of your mind. Then keep on observe it, and see what happened. See what the aversion happened. So in this sense, bare awareness itself is never enough. Because bare awareness may be very short, then your mind restless, become restless, right? So the actual meaning is bare awareness plus sustained attention. So they say the mind is in aversion state. You aware of it, and your awareness, your attention to that aversion must be sustained long enough. When the attention sustained long enough at the aversion state, mental state, what will happen? You may even see the pain increase, the aversion increase. If the aversion increase, then you see the change of the aversion. It changed to a greater form of aversion. But for somebody, when the attention is sustained on that aversion, he will see the dissolution, disappearing, passing away of that aversion. Right? So if you, with sustained attention, you see the passing away that aversion, you already see anicca. You already see impermanence of mental state. When you see the impermanence of the mental state, there's also one good effect, a powerful effect, that whenever you see impermanent, you see what? Non-self. Whenever you see impermanent, you see non-self. Let me explain to you further. First, you identify without mindfulness. You identify aversion is me. I am angry, you know, my mind is affected by pain. Therefore, I am very agitated. I am angry. At that moment, without mindfulness and wisdom, you already identify that anger as myself already. Right? But with sustained is important. Mindfulness is not only one thought moment. Sustained continuously. So with sustained mindfulness, gradually you see the aversion passing away, become less and passing away, completely disappeared in your mind without leaving any trace. So from this experience, and you can easily experience this experience, I guarantee you. Okay? So from this experience, and you understand, aversion is not myself. Agitation is not myself. If agitation were the self, I should die together with aversion. But now aversion has passed away. I'm still sitting there meditating. So from this wise attention, you should understand aversion is not yourself. Right? So by seeing passing away, by seeing disappearing of one of the mental state, you also achieve another insight, the insight of non-self. Okay, hope it's clear to you. Okay.
Therefore,
when we talk about bare mindfulness, without reacting, once you don't react, you apply sustained attention. Keep on looking at it. Then after that, the phenomena you are observing will unfold its nature. That's what we want to achieve. Okay? Okay. The second meaning of so let me emphasize that bit. So if you lose awareness of contemplating the pain and the aversion arise in you, shift your mind to look at the mental state. This is also one foundation of mindfulness. We call citta nupassana satipatthana. Okay. And when you sustain your attention on the aversion or craving when eating time, a lot of craving. When you sustain your attention on craving time, you see what happened to the object. There are two things you can observe. What happened to the object and what happened to your reaction of the mind. The mind is keep on reacting to the object constantly. But our mindfulness is so slow, so we cannot catch up every minute detail. So long you can see passing away, great enough. Feel satisfaction. Okay? So, this sati, mindfulness means that bare awareness plus sustained attention and to what actually happens to you and in you. What? Let's say you are listening to Dhamma talk. This is what is happening to you now. Then what happening in you now? Whether your mind is listening attentively or your mind is restless. That's happening in you. So you must have that mindfulness to know what is happen to you and what is happen in you, both. To you, including the external environment, right? In you is your own personal insight. What's your reaction towards environment? What's happening to you? Is it clear or not? Okay. Then there's another meaning of mindfulness is present of the mind. Present of the mind. For example, now listening to talk. There are two conditions. There are two, how to call, two things will happen. One, you listen with mindfulness. This is called present of the mind. Another person may listen with sleepiness, absent of the mind. Or another person will listen with restlessness, thinking about her family, his family. So absent of the mind. So when doing something, the mind is not present, then you will never remember what is happening to you. Right? You will never remember what's happening to you because your mind is not present. Therefore, through my many years dealing with lay person, one symptom is very clear to me. Most lay person are very absent-minded. Even I talk to him, his mind is not present. Therefore, she cannot understand what I'm talking about. In this sense, present of the mind, present of the mind also make the memory strong. You can remember very, very well if the present of the mind is there. But whatever you do, you are absent-minded, then your memory become very weak. In this sense that sati, mindfulness, also implies memory effect. As an effect of mindfulness, you have very good memory. Now, whatever you read, let's say I read one sutta with present mind, I can remember very well. So with mindfulness, you strengthen your faculty of memory. Similarly, when you pay attention to your aversion state of the mind, the presence of the mind with the anger, then you see the disappearing dissolution of the anger mind. Then next time you can remember already. Anger is impermanent. The moment you remember anger is impermanent, then you will not cling, you are not attached to that anger state of the mind, because you already remember anger is impermanent through your own mindfulness practice. Okay, so when you talk about the sustained attention, it also implies pausing. You sustain your attention on the object, your mind paused. Don't move the mind. Then it also implies stopping the mind. Keep your mind still on one object. Only then you will see the change. The object will start changing. And you will see how the object change, and finally the object disappear from your mindfulness. Disappear. Finished. Passing away. Then you mark impermanent. Okay? But when you, let's say, when you pay attention on your aversion, you keep your mind, first, you keep your attention on the aversion without sustaining your attention on it. Then your mind go to another object. Before you can see the passing away of the aversion, the mind go to another object already. Because the mind is very, very restless. This is the nature of the mind. So without that sustained attention, you cannot see the dissolution of the aversion. Then the mind will think aversion is permanent, because your experience, you do not experience it directly, the dissolution passing away of that aversion. So in order to see the dissolution and passing away of that aversion, sustained attention is very important. Keeping the mind still, pausing the mind, stopping the mind for a moment and see what happened to the object. This is called applying mindfulness. Okay, now we go to the second stage. When we talk about mindful, you must be mindful. Mindful of what? Our title of the retreat already tell us, mindful of four things, four foundations of mindfulness, right? So there are four things in this retreat you should mindful of. First one is what? Body, kaya nupassana satipatthana. Mindful of your body. So in this retreat, there are two ways you can mindful. First, mindful of your breath. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. You are mindful of your breath constantly. This is called sustained attention on the breath. But sometimes after half an hour, after 45 minutes, there's so much sensation arise in the body. You cannot have that sensation, especially stronger one, already disturb your concentration on the breath. At this time, I would like to suggest you put aside anapanasati, go to the sensation that arise in the body, hold your mindfulness there, sustain your mindfulness. You pick one strongest sensation, right? You pick one, then hold your mindfulness there, keep on pausing your mind there and see what happened to the object. And when the object change, and see what is the reaction of the mind. Okay, so first, mindful of what? Mindful of your body, the action, including anapanasati, in breath and out breath, and including the sensation, any sensation that arise in your body. Hold your attention there, mindful of it. So this is called mindful, mindful of body, anything connected with the body. Second, feeling, mindful of what feeling. Feeling, there are five types of feeling. One is physical painful feeling. When you sit 45 minutes, I trust for the first day, there's a lot of pain. This is called physical painful feeling. Second is physical pleasant feeling. When you have some concentration, you can still sit very still. In the body, there's a bliss. You feel the bliss in the body, no pain at all. This is called pleasant physical body. Physical pleasant feeling. Or when you eat something, during lunchtime, that when the food touch the tongue, you feel pleasant. This is called pleasant physical, called bodily pleasant feeling. So two. Then there's one mental pleasant feeling. When you have good concentration, mentally you feel bliss. This is called mental pleasant feeling. Or when you listen to Dhamma talk, you feel a lot of happiness, a bliss, pleasant feeling. This is called mental pleasant feeling. There's also one mentally unpleasant feeling. So when come to meditation, sometimes, let's say you have pain during your childhood, right? And when your mind come down, all your unpleasant feeling in the childhood that will come up into the surface. So you feel very unpleasant mentally because of the memory, in the past. So at that time, mentally unpleasant feeling arise in your mind. What should you do? First, mindful of it. If you do not mindful of it and yet you keep on thinking of it, then come up with crying, then you are a poor yogi, a very poor yogi. Don't know how to apply mindfulness to help yourself. So the moment you know, this is unpleasant mental feeling, what should I do as a yogi? Mindful of it. Observe it. Take it as an object. We are four objects, but one body, one feeling. Now we change to feeling. So take it as an object. Observe it. Sustain your attention and see what happened to that mentally unpleasant feeling. Important is see what happened. Under the microscope of mindfulness, and you see what happened to it. This is what we want to achieve. What happened, I'm not going to tell you, because everybody experienced differently. Okay? Then this one is called neutral feeling. Mentally neutral. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant. This is called mentally neutral feeling. You can put aside this one. This one is a bit difficult to observe because most of time our mentally is neutral. You thought no object, then it's neutral feeling. The moment you think that I have no feeling, that's neutral feeling already. Remember that. Only banana stem has no feeling. Okay? Only plant has no feeling. You are human being, but you say today I have no feeling, then remember it's neutral feeling. Because neutral feeling itself is not obvious. Okay, so this is the second object, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, second foundation, feelings, both physically and mentally. Okay, the third one, what? Mental object, all the mental object. And this is a difficult one. I have seen so many yogis who is very good with anapanasati, even go to jhana, but they don't know how to observe the mind. So this is a difficult one. So mental object, what are the mental object you experience in your life? Give me few. Please. Okay lah, first day embarrassed. Second day you become more active. Okay? First, aversion. So happen in this retreat one. Maybe you can experience 100 times of aversion. So get ready for it. to observe it, sustain your attention there and see what happened to your aversion. Okay? Second, what other mental object will arise during the retreat? Desire. Yes. For example, very hot desire for aircon. This also, you must be mindful of it. And when lying up, impatient, also be aware of it, impatient. Annoyance, when you sit very well, people come in, go in and out, you feel the mind is very annoying, aware of it. What else? Sometimes jealousy. This person can sit so well, how come I cannot, you know? Jealousy also can happen. What else? Metta. Yes, loving kindness. Don't look at the negative thought only. There are so many positive thoughts. Loving kindness. Metta. Okay? Joy. Happiness. All these are mental objects, not a negative thought only. Happiness. Joy. Equanimous. All these are mental objects. You should aware of. So this is the third foundation of sati mindfulness. The last one is dhamma. Dhamma nupassana satipatthana. Dhamma objects are very, very wide, including 5 aggregates, including 6 senses, your eyes, nose, come to a contact with external object. You must know, there's a contact. Because of contact, anger arises. Because the noise impinge the ear, so the factor of anger arise. This is called Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. If you are simply aware of the anger, it's pure Citta Nupassana Satipatthana, pure mindfulness of the mind. But you also aware, because there's the ear, because there's the sound, because of the contact of the sound with the ear, then the anger arises. You go into wider range. This is called Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana, contemplation on Dhamma. And also all the 5 hindrances. When you sit, you feel very sleepy. This is called, you contemplate that sleepiness. It's called Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. 5 hindrances. Sleepiness, doubt. Arise in you, then you know. This is also called Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana. Restless. And what else? Desire. And anger. 5. Okay. So, first we talk about mindfulness. Secondly, we talk about what things you should mindful of. There are 4, right? Body, feeling, mental object, and a Dhamma object. So, these 4 are the object of your observation. Don't pay attention to the physical only. Try to widen your scope of mindfulness. The object where your mindfulness can spread wide. Okay. Next, for today, under the Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana bodily contemplation, I want to focus only one. Under bodily contemplation, there are many objects. Anapana is one. I assume all of you know how to practice Anapana Sati already. If you still not clear, during personal time today, we have 2 options. One, you stay in the hall, listen to how to practice Anapana Sati. Another option, you go outside the hall, there is exercise. I will teach you exercise. Okay? So, under the bodily contemplation of body, I want to choose one, the 4 postures. We call Iriyapatha. How Buddha teach this 4 postures? Buddha say, when walking, so let's explain what are the 4 postures first. First is walking, second, sitting, third, standing, fourth, lying down. So this 4 posture, you practice with this 4 posture. not only sitting only. I also know many, many yogis, after get up from cushion, don't know how to practice. And you are lay person. You have very limited time to sit on a cushion. Therefore, you must know after get up from cushion how to practice. Otherwise, you find no time to practice. Okay? So, Buddha teach first. When walking, Buddha say, when walking, a bhikkhu know I am walking. So, when Buddha preach this statement to you, when walking, a bhikkhu know I am walking. I don't think people understand. What does Buddha mean? When walking, a bhikkhu know I am walking. When walking, do you know you are walking? Yes or no? Yes or no? You dare to say yes. But I guarantee you, when walking, your mind is also restless. When you are restless, you don't know you are walking, I tell you. Why? Because mind only can focus on one object. So when you are restless, you are not focused on your walking. So at that moment, you do not know you are walking. So that's why I say you dare to say you know you are walking. When mind is restless, no, you don't know you are walking. That's why sometimes you fall down. Because absent of the mindfulness, absent of the mind. Right? If you are mindful at what you are doing, no accident will happen to you. But if accident happen to you, is somebody not mindful, that knock you, then this is not your fault. Although it's not your fault, but it's your karma. It's your karma because previously you knocked down somebody. Now somebody knocked you down, even you are mindful. Okay? So, when what Buddha trying to say, this Satipatthana Sutta is meant for very intelligent practitioner. Buddha preached this to highly intelligent audience. Therefore, Buddha no need to say very long. They understand well. But we are far away from Buddha's time, 2600 years ago. So we cannot understand what Buddha trying to say. When walking, a bhikkhu know I'm walking. Sure, I know I'm walking one. Why should Buddha mention this one? We will think in that way, right? Okay. First, you should understand the Dhamma. There are two truths. One is called conceptual truth. One is called ultimate truth. So when Buddha say, when walking, a bhikkhu know I'm walking. Buddha is using conventional language to convey his hidden message. Hidden message cannot tell very clearly in such a short verses. But the audience understand, then no need to explain further. Okay. So conventionally we say, a bhikkhu know I'm walking. You also know I am walking. This is called conventional saying. I am walking. The I is still there. Any practices that can strengthen the identity view of I that is never inside practice. Okay? So if Buddha say a bhikkhu know I'm walking, when walking a bhikkhu know I'm walking. So Buddha still use I am walking. And the aim of the inside knowledge is to dispel the delusion of I. So how to solve this dilemma? The only explanation is that Buddha is using the conventional truth to convey his message only. But as a listener, we should understand there's a hidden meaning in this sentence. Okay, first, you must understand I am walking, whenever there's I am, this conventional truth. Remember this point. Whenever there's I am, this conventional truth. For you to understand, Buddha is trying to tell you, give you an instruction using I am only. So you should go further. From the conventional truth, go deep to the ultimate truth. So you must go beyond the concept. How? How to go beyond the concept? First, when you walk the time, first you just mindful of walking. Don't say that I am walking. get rid of the word I am. It's just no walking, walking of movement. Any movement, it's just aware of the movement, aware of the movement. Then later on, second stage. First stage, because we have walking section, right? So you walk mindful of your movement only. That's all, one thing. Mindful of your movement. After maybe 20 minutes, then ask yourself one question. Who is walking? Ask yourself one question. Who is walking? What's your answer? What's your answer? Don't tell me I am walking, okay? I'm trying to dispel this I, so don't tell me I am walking. So ask yourself, who is walking? Tell me, please. Five aggregate. Five aggregate is very complicated for beginners. We make it short. Who is walking? Mind and body. Okay? Well, from easy, we go to deep one. Five aggregate too deep for other people to follow. So you answer. Okay, ask yourself. Who is walking? Then the answer come. Mind and body. Or you can say body is walking. Also not wrong. Body is walking. Okay? Or mind and body. Because without mind, body cannot walk. Only mind say, I want to walk, body follow. You see, banana stem cannot walk. Why? Banana stem has no mind. So if you say mind or body only, also not correct. The correct answer is mind and body. I say mind and body is walking. Then you further ask yourself, what is body? What is body? Yeah, four elements. You keep on inquiring. Therefore, inside meditation is not only like what? Like 白痴, how do you call? Like no mind person sitting still, don't know anything, don't think anything. No. Inside meditation, you need some investigation. We call Dhamma Vichaya Sambojanga. Seven factors of enlightenment. The second factor is called investigation of the Dhamma. So for inside knowledge, for anapana, no need to think anything, okay? Just keep your mind empty, don't think of anything. But when you come to inside knowledge, you need investigation. Without investigation, your knowledge, your wisdom cannot unfold. Okay? So you tell who is walking? Then you find that mind and body is walking. Then you analyze, what is this body? If you cannot come out the answer, at least one answer can come. There's wind element. Because the body moves. Only wind element can make the body move. So one answer, wind element. And if you want to know another three answer is earth element, fire element, and water element. But today I'm not going to tell you how these four work together. You just know, there's wind element. Therefore, so when walking, then you know, pay attention to the wind element enough. So to close or analytical, close attention or examination to walking process, you understand only mind and body. And further investigate what makes up the body. It is four, but you focus on wind element. Then you keep on walking, wind element, see the movement. Mind only keep one element, movement only. I will like you to slow down a little bit because now it's a retreat. Slow down so that your mindfulness can catch up what is happening at this moment. If your action is too fast, no, your mindfulness cannot catch up with the fast action. So slow down during the retreat is very helpful. Okay? Then secondly, you can ask you another question. Why move? Why move? Why the wind can move? Or why move? Why the body move? Simply because the mind wants to move. There's an intention in the mind. There's an intention in the mind want to move that intention produce four elements in the body. Then, among these four elements, wind element will start to move. So you must understand all this process. This, the purpose to help you to dispel the illusion of I or self. Then you will see, because there's intention, the body moves. So intention is the cause. Bodily movement is the effect, right? So you discern, oh, this is the cause, this is the effect. So when you see the, when you can see in this way, oh, my intention is the cause, bodily movement is the effect, and you see these two, you see their separation, and mind and body is not seen as single entity. Mind and body is seen separate things, separate entity. Body is one, mind is one. And mind, because with the intention to move, the intention produce four elements and make the wind element moving. So you see the intention of the mind and followed by movement of the body. So these are two separate entities. If you can see this, then you are achieving the first insight knowledge, discerning mind and body separately. This is the first insight knowledge you should achieve. And if you are a skillful meditator, you have matured wisdom, then you add one more. Intention is cause, bodily movement is the effect. So this cause, there's an effect. This is a cause, there's an effect. When you see cause and effect, you see no one, no self. If you cannot catch up all, take only one, mind and body, two, to practice for a few days enough. Okay, so this is the first lesson, first talk I want to share with you. For sitting, you can practice anapana, or any phenomena, strong phenomena arise, then you shift your mindfulness, shift your attention to that strong phenomena. Hold your mindfulness there, sustain your attention there, and see what happened. And when something changed, and also check your mind. What is the reaction of the mind? Go back to the mind, and do some contemplation of the mind. Okay? Then after that, when walking, do what I share with you just now. Okay? So, enough for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's one translation. So those who cannot understand Chinese, don't be discouraged. Okay? There's translation in Chinese. And those who cannot catch all my talk, you have second time to read, to hear again.